Our reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church at Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. At the beginning of his letter, Paul expresses thanks to his partners in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us listen together for God's word. I thank my God every time I mention you in my prayers. I am thankful for all of you every time I pray, and it's always a prayer full of joy. I'm glad because of the way you have been my partners in the ministry of the gospel from the time you first believed it until now. I'm sure about this. The one who started a good work in you will stay with you to complete the job by the day of Christ Jesus. I have good reason to think this way about all of you because I keep you in my heart. You are all my partners in God's grace, both during my time in prison and in the defense and support of the gospel. God is my witness that I feel affection for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. This is my prayer, that your love might become even more and more rich with knowledge and all kinds of insight. I pray this so that you will be able to decide what really matters, and so you will be sincere and blameless on the day of Christ. I pray that you will then be filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes from Jesus Christ, in order to give glory and praise to God. May God bless the reading and hearing of this, God's holy word.
Let us pray. God, your word is good. It's good enough to fill us with joy. So God, give us your word this morning and give us joy. Amen. So in his letter to the church at Philippi, Philippi, by the way, is a city on the Aegean Sea, north of Athens, Greece, about 200 miles or so, just to orient us geographically. But Paul wrote his letter to the church at Philippi, and he wrote it with great affection. He wrote it from prison, and he wrote it to an early Christian community that he himself founded. Our time is short this morning due to Consecration Sunday, so I don't have time to go too much into the details of this fascinating letter, but it is important for us to know that from beginning to the end, the letter to the Philippians by Paul is filled with the joy of Paul. What is Paul joyful about? Paul is joyful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is joyful that the Philippian community are his partners in the gospel, and he is joyful because the Philippians have sent him money on at least one or two occasions to support his ministry and to support him while he was in prison. So Paul is suffering, he's in prison, he's in difficult circumstances, and yet he is filled with joy for the gospel and the ways that the Philippian church is responding to the gospel. And so, in light of stewardship campaign, in light of Consecration Sunday, in light of this wonderful letter, I want to take some cues from Paul and do three brief things this morning. First, I want to remind us why the gospel is something to be joyful about. Second, I want to share my own joy for the ways that this congregation is being a partner and forming partnerships with others in the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then finally, I will end by inviting all of us to give generously of our time, our skills, and our money, and in that way to become deeper and deeper partners in this sacred place, which of course is our theme for our stewardship campaign this year. So we begin, and I will say that I am filled with joy for the gospel. I mean, the gospel. Think about what it is. Think about the gospel, what it is and what it means. It is the bold, outrageous, unbelievable, incomprehensible claim that God loves us and is saving us, whether we deserve it or not. We don't have to look a certain way. We don't have to say magic words. We don't have to journey to a special place. We don't have to beg, borrow, or steal. We don't have to be perfect, to be sure. All we have to do is as we are and where we are, be open to God's saving love, to let it far enough into us to say yes to the God who says yes to us. The gospel is amazing. It is better than flourless chocolate cake. It is better than a 1945 Bordeaux. I looked it up. That was a particularly good vintage year. It is better than a big group of friends and a big old bucket of chicken wings. It is better even than if the Patriots won the Super Bowl and the Red Sox the World Series and the Bruins the Cup and the Celtics the championship and, as Deirdre said, the Revolution, whatever they win, if all of those were won in the same year. It is better even than that. The gospel is amazing and wonderful and better than anything that we can imagine, and I know and I've experienced it in myself and I've seen it in others that when we let the gospel far enough into us, it brings us the kind of deep and lasting joy that Paul had from prison so long ago, that I have and that I know so many of you have too. The gospel is something to be joyful about, and it's filling me with joy, but that's not the only thing filling me with joy today. I am also being filled by the fact that this congregation that you are being a partner and forming so many partnerships with groups locally and around the world to do gospel work. Oh, sure, it's one thing to bask in the glow of God's saving love on a Sunday morning, but it's another thing to respond to that, you know, with the real actions of your real lives. Think about all of the partnerships that we are involved in for the sake of the gospel. I had to write a list because I couldn't remember them. We have to start with Harvest Market, of course, right? This big, gigantic, amazing, wonderful program that we run every year that helps us shine the gospel light outward into the community and beyond as we say to ourselves and everyone else, God loves you, so come and eat and buy clutter and listen to music and play games and meet your neighbors and build community and be renewed. Maybe we don't think of Harvest Market in that way, but it is one of the most important ways that we are a partner and build partnerships in the gospel. Lou knows how many vendors we have, how many nonprofit and for-profit businesses we partner with. There's dozens, maybe hundreds of families and individuals who we are in partner with through the Harvest Market. It's incredible. The ID School, we've got a growing relationship with them, and David Wells, the principal, and I have had some good conversations, and maybe you don't know this, but about once a month, the ID School uses our parking lot, and they have a walk to school day, and so parents park there and they walk with their kids to school, or the kids walk with the teachers. What a great way to raise awareness about the need for physical exercise. What a great way to be a partner in the gospel and care for one another. I think about our community dinner, right, which is well into its fourth year now, I think. What an interesting and wonderful way to be partners with this community in new and wonderful ways. I see faces at the community dinner every month that I don't see the rest of the month. Wonderful way to build relationships. I think about our partnerships with the Ecumenical Food Shelf or other partnerships with traditions other than our own, and also our own partner denominations, the United Church of Christ and the United Methodist Church. Together, we are connected to thousands of people around the state, around the country, and around the world because of those partnerships. We are able to connect and help and heal and feed people. Janet, not to put you on the spot, but I think about you. And for a very long time, you've been a wonderful partner in helping to connect us and so many others together to raise resources to send kids to summer camp. I know part of that was a feeding program, and it's certainly an enrichment program, and it's borne so much fruit over the years, and we thank you for that. I think about emergency aid requests that come in every week or so for people looking for heat assistance or rent assistance or food assistance. What a wonderful way to connect with people for the gospel. Think about our Sunday school, our youth groups. I think about AA, the water board, scouting that meets in this building on a regular basis. And also, many of you might not know this, but the barn where my cars are parked, the top floor is filled with medical equipment. And I think the clutter barn must get a lot because it keeps getting more and more, but that's good because it's been going out more and more. And it's become a bigger part of what I do. Every week, at least once or twice, I get a call and give out medical equipment. What a wonderful partnership for this wider community, and not a very visible one. I think about our adult and youth mission trips. I think about our ongoing relationship with Partners in Sacred Places, with Habitat for Humanity, with Heifer Ranch, which has been a very long relationship. I think about our missions ministry, which connects us and raises money and sends money on our behalf to organizations all over the region, the country, and the world. I think about weddings, funerals, and baptisms. You know, so many folks come here for life cycle events that have no other connection to the church, and in some cases, it's the only contact with the gospel that people ever have is through weddings, baptisms, and funeral. It is a sacred honor to be walking with them in their lives in those times. I think about Sunday morning worship as well. I mean, this is the primary way that we gather together, and through word, and through music, and through food, and through fellowship, we deepen our partnerships with one another and with God for the sake of the gospel every single week. And I'm just getting started with these partnerships. This list is incomplete, but even though it's an incomplete list, it fills me with joy to think about all of these partnerships. Because in this list, it becomes visible that we aren't willing to just sit around and bask in the glow of God's saving love, but that we're willing to respond to it, to do things with our lives, to care for people and heal people and feed people and tell people about how wonderful the gospel is, even better than flourless chocolate cake. So I'm filled with joy this morning for the gospel and for our partnerships that we're forming to distribute and tell people about the gospel. And I hope that you are filled with joy about our partnership. And so, from there, after reminding us what the gospel is something to be joyful about, after sharing my own joy about our gospel partnerships, the only thing left to do this morning is to ask. Right? It's for me to ask and for us to ask one another to give generously of our time, our skills, and even our money. Let me be clear. This church as an institution has needs. You know, we need committed volunteers. We need skilled volunteers to be involved in every part of our life together. We need money to pay our bills, to keep the lights on and keep the heat going, to pay staff salaries, to maintain our buildings, to keep our grounds going, and also to fund our programs, educational and otherwise, to keep our relationships with our partner denominations and our missions commitments that help support so many different organizations. We need resources, time, skills, and money. And because we have need, I and our trustees and our stewardship, and I think one another, I think that we need one another to give and to give generously according to our ability and our means. But if you choose to give, I hope you don't only give because of the institutional needs of this church. I hope that you also give because of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. I hope that you give because of what God has done and is doing and will never stop doing for us. And I hope that as we give for both of these, because of the needs of the church, but also because of God's love in Jesus Christ, that as we give for those reasons, my hope and prayer is that this church will remain vital and become even more vital. I hope that our programs will become richer and deeper and help to make more disciples of Jesus Christ, even more than we already are. I hope and pray, too, that as we give generously, that our gospel light will shine into this community and far beyond. That other people outside those doors will look at the work of this church and say, there's good news there. That's what love looks like. Those are partners in the gospel. So, with great joy this morning, I ask this bold, outrageous question. Will you give generously in the coming year of your time, your skills, and your might. In Christ's name and for the life of the whole.